All right, we're going to start. My name is Frank Amaro. I am actually the vice chair for the 1st Congressional District for the Republican Party of Kentucky. Very glad to be here. I actually moderate a lot of these. So the rules are set. All the candidates have received the rules. We need to remember that we are Republicans. We're good people. We don't burn stuff down. We don't protest. We don't yell. We don't scream at each other. We do things with dignity and as gentlemen and as ladies. There's a couple of things we want to go through real fast. If you have a question that you would like, come on in, that you would like to ask any of the candidates, we'd appreciate it if you pull your phones out right now, and I'll give this number to you a few times. 270-348-1266. And the only thing you have to do with that number is put down, I have a question for the coroner. So I would put coroner on there, and then I'd put the question, and you send it in. At the end of tomorrow, so you have all day tomorrow, think about questions. We will take the questions, and we will type them all out, and every question will be answered by the candidates running for that office. So if a question comes in, let's say, for the jailer, it doesn't matter which jailer it comes in for, it's going to both candidates. And then they have until the end of the week to reply to me. And then at the end of the week, we will do this two ways. We will post them on Facebook so everybody can see the questions and the answers. Or we will allow the candidates an opportunity this week if they want. They can actually have us record the question, and they can answer it on video, and we will post that. Everything that is being said tonight will be posted. Okay, this is a public event, so we will post everything that's out there. Tonight's questions will only be asked by two individuals, myself and Joshua Clausen from WEKT. And we have a set five questions that we both have on paper, and Alan Watts also helped with this. And those five questions are the only questions that we will ask. We will not ask each candidate all five questions. Probably going to ask you one or two or three maybe. So we'll do it that way. So again, 270-348-1266. You can send any questions you want for any candidates. We will get them answered for you. Before I go any further, I want to thank the Justice Center, Mark, our circuit clerk, for helping me put this all together. I really appreciate them opening the doors for us. This is a good thing. All right. Then I have a couple of announcements. Todd Mansfield, our judge executive, called me this afternoon. He has been tested, and he has COVID. So he will not be here, but he did send some signs with his wife in the back. If you guys want some of his signs, they're in that room. We'll hand them out at the end. But he said that if there's any questions that he can answer, he'd be glad to answer them. Just go ahead and text them to us at 270-348-1266. Brent Brookshire, Magistrate Brent Brookshire, will not be here. He has actually another board meeting tonight, but he also stated the same thing. If there's any questions for him, let him know. And he wants to thank everybody in the district because he is your next magistrate. There is nobody running against him on either side. Jack Gant, I don't know if many of you knows, he had a heart attack a few months ago. He had a little fall, so he will not be here tonight. And Travis Combs sent me an email, a text message this morning, not feeling well, very much under the weather. So they are the candidates that are not here. Any questions for me? Oh, I love this. All right, so first up, we're going to ask our coroner, Timothy Wells. 10 minutes. Our timer will show you cards if we get that far.
And I just want to thank everybody for coming out tonight and thanking everybody that put this together. I'm Timothy Wells. I'm in your Todd County corner. Right now, currently, I'm on my third term, and I'm starting my fourth term, and it's been unopposed for the – this will be the third term, and I just want to continue to thank you for your support. Thank you.
Next up will be our county clerk candidate, Amanda Fowler. By the way, congratulations, since you don't have an election in November. You know, 10 years ago when I moved here, somebody told me that if I registered as a Republican, that I would never be able to make a decision during the primaries to figure out who was actually going to get the seat. Well, 10 years later, those tables have turned. If you're not a Republican today, you have no say-so on who becomes our judge, who becomes basically four out of the five magistrates. You have no say-so on our clerk, our coroner, our jailer, our sheriff, and much more. So tables do turn after 10 years. Go ahead. Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Amanda Ricuti Fowler, and I'm running for county clerk. For the past 11 years, I've had the privilege of serving the community as a deputy clerk. During that time, I've worked side by side with many of you, taking care of the essentials in the clerk's office. I have the hands-on experience and the deep understanding of the office that I believe is required to serve you effectively on day one. I want to thank you all for your time and for your support, and I look forward to the opportunity to be able to serve you as the next county clerk.
Thank you very much. Next, we have the magistrate from District 4, Henry Oliver.
Hello. I'm Henry Oliver, but most of you know me as Boogie. Not very many people in the county know who Henry is. I've been Boogie since before I could walk. I'm starting my last year of my first term as magistrate for District 4. I have really enjoyed what we've done while I've been there. I feel like we have started a lot of things that are very important to this county. And I would like to be able to stay there to see these things that we've got started through. I serve on several different committees. There's some people in the county who feel like if you're a magistrate, you go to two meetings a month, but anyone who is in the inner works knows there's a whole lot more to it than that. You're always asked to serve on committees. I serve on the health department board. You're always called into meetings to discuss important matters in our county, and I've enjoyed doing that, and I hope to have the opportunity to continue. Thank you.
One moment, please.
Yes.
Since you do have candidates in the general election, mm-hmm. we will put forth some questions.
Okay.
Right. Boogie, what do you feel is the greatest need in Todd County, and how do you plan to address it?
That's a loaded question. We are already addressing, we have two or three things that I think are very high on the list. Of course, always, and is funding. We would like to think that we can make the world go around without it, but without money, we can't do anything. So funding is always a very important thing. We have some issues in the county right now that we are addressing and working to address, and this is nothing toward our current or our candidate running against him for jailer, but jail expenses. And this isn't something toward either one of them. This is something we all have to work on. We're working in state legislature to try to make that better and get more relief, and it's not just Todd County. It's every county in the state except for about three. If you are big enough and have the right, can meet the qualifications to serve as to hold federal prisoners, you can make money. Otherwise, you can't. Everyone in this room is aware, we have some issues with our ambulances. That's another thing we're working toward to make sure that we're approaching and trying to come up with the best way, the solution that we can for that. That's the two main issues I feel right now that's pressing.
I'll ask you one more here.
Yes.
Are there adequate regulations in place to ensure we have responsible growth in Todd County?
We are working toward that. I actually made the motion when we started the zoning and planning. I have felt for a long time that that was very important to our county. You're not going to stop growth, and we don't want to stop growth. But with zoning and planning, it gives you an opportunity to steer that growth in the direction that we feel like is best for our county. Otherwise, you can do anything you want to. When people call our county courthouse and inquire about property, the very first thing they ask is, do you have county zoning in your county? And when you say no, they're interested in anything that's for sale. If you say yes, then they have a lot of questions and they start backing up. When that's the first question someone's asked, it concerns me that they might not have our county's best interest at heart. I want them to come here because they want to be part of our county, not because they can get away with something. That is a very important issue to me. Right now, the way we stand, if you're out now, we have zoning in Guthrie, Trenton, and Elton. But if you're outside of that, if you go out here somewhere and you buy you a really nice lot, and I know I'm about to run out of time, so I'm going to be really quick on this, and you build a $750,000 house, someone can come in and buy the 5 acres behind you and put 3 chicken houses on it, and there's nothing anyone can do about it. So that is a big deal for me for protection for our citizens. And I know that runs me out of time on that one. So.
Thank you very much, sir.
Yes, sir.
The next office that was selected during our pick is the Sheriff's Office. So can we have Patrick Turner and Mitch Frazier please come up and take a seat? Mitch, you're first.
Hello, everyone. I just want to thank the Republican Party for hosting this. Mr. Coward for allowing us to use the Justice Center. Just want to introduce myself. Some of you may not know me, some of you do. My name is Stephen Frazier. I'm known by Mitch. I've been in Todd County my entire life, since itty bitty, growing up. 2006 graduate of Todd Central. In 2009, I got married to my high school sweetheart. Been married for 16 years. Got 2 wonderful children, both attend Todd County school system. It's a great school system. I say so myself by going there. And that's all I got for as far as my introducing myself.
Okay, be seated, please. We'll give you both questions. Mr. Turner.
I want to give thanks first and foremost tonight to Jesus Christ. I'm grateful for his love and for his forgiveness, and I don't deserve either one. Without him, I wouldn't be here standing before you tonight. Next, I want to thank my wife, Kat. Living with a Marine and a cop ain't always easy. She's done it with grace and patience, and I also want to thank all those friends and family that supported me through multiple deployments, injuries, and recoveries from injuries and illnesses, and with your words of prayer and your encouragement. Lastly, I want to thank Todd County for giving me a place to dream about when I was far away, and being here at all seemed to be an unrealistic dream. You gave me something worth fighting for. In preparation for this, several people wanted me to embellish my Marine Corps career by talking about like medals and decorations, but I'm going to say a few things about my military service. But I think the purpose of the forum here tonight is to let people of Todd County know more about what they'd be getting by electing me for sheriff. When I joined the Marines at the ripe age of 17, right out of high school, I really had no idea what I was getting myself into, but I discovered that God did have a plan for me. Nothing was going on in the world from a military standpoint, and at the time I joined in the late 80s, After turning 18 in boot camp, I spent most of my teenage years and my early 20s in and out of combat. By the time I finished my first 4 years, I was considered an experienced combat Marine. During that time, I had endured combat injuries, training injuries, and I'd been in a coma from malaria in Somalia. As I experienced difficulties in combat with injuries and illness, it led me to discover the value of my friends and family back home. Here in Todd County, over the years, I received a lot of care packages and cards and letters from the people of Todd County, including from my current church, New Hope Baptist Church in Clifty. I learned from the value of the people here, or the value of the people here, as I saw fellow Marines who were from big cities, they got little or no support from back home. The support was not short-lived either. It remained throughout the years as I ended up deploying to combat multiple times after 9/11 as well. And it's a humbling experience to see many of the same supporters were still supporting me now after a career in the Marine Corps, around 20 years of volunteer service with the Clifty Fire Department, and over 15 years at the Sheriff's Office now. For these reasons, I feel a deep sense of commitment to Todd County and the people here. Even when I've been offered other opportunities to work elsewhere for more money, my loyalty has stayed here with you. You've been there for me, and I am here for you. If you look at my Facebook, I got a video that tells a little bit about my family roots here. For example, my dad's family, the Turners, moved here in the late 30s and the early 40s from East Kentucky in the coal mines. My mother's family, the Slaughters, they were some of the first early settlers here, and they migrated here in like the late 1600s, early 1700s. And there is both a Slaughter Road and a Turner Road, but just because I've got family roots here, deep family roots, that don't make me the best candidate for sheriff. So the purpose of all this here tonight is to let you, the voters, know why I believe I'm the most qualified candidate for sheriff, and to let you know what my commitments are to you if you elect me. A few of you have seen my door hangers that I've been using when I knock on the door and nobody answers. On one side is a picture of me in Afghanistan with a sniper rifle, and at the bottom there's a picture of me when I went through or graduated from the Sergeant's Academy at East Kentucky University with a Department of Criminal Justice training. On the other side is a little note asking to vote for me on May 19th in the primary, and then there's also 3 points there. The 3 points are professionalism, experience, and transparency. The first is professionalism. As a young Marine working my way up through the ranks, it didn't take long for me to realize the Marine Corps had high expectations when it comes to professionalism. I earned my first real leadership role after about 2.5 years in the Marine Corps. From that time on, the Marine Corps sent me to lots of formal leadership training classes, and among other things, most of the classes are designed to teach the Marine, as he advances through the ranks, what's expected of him. I learned early on that the Marine Corps expect Marines, especially leaders of Marines, to conduct themselves professionally at all times, and that your ego and your personal feelings have no place in a professional's decision-making process. This training has helped me in many ways as my career changed from the Marine Corps to law enforcement. I've tried hard to conduct myself in a similar manner as a police officer, even when dealing with people that have broken the law and I have to arrest them. And what a surprise it was when I attended the Sergeant's Academy as a police officer to discover that some of the same military leaders that gave the training in the Marine Corps for leadership were the same ones that gave them at the Department of Criminal Justice training. So it's my plan to bring a higher level of professionalism to Todd County Sheriff's Office. I believe it'll help the department run more efficiently and provide much better service to the people of the county. The next is experience. Again, I could list all my training courses and schools and bore to death with a list of certifications. Instead, I'll tell you that after 20 years of service to the Marine Corps, and over 15 years of service to the Todd County Sheriff's Office, I am the most experienced candidate for this job. I've been serving my country for the people of Todd County since I was 17 years old. I spent most of this time either in combat, training for combat, answering calls for service, or investigating crimes. So the majority of my experience is operational experience. And with me as sheriff, as I learn in the military, I plan to bring with me a higher utilization of technology and modern tactics that will make the sheriff's office more efficient and effective as we serve the people of Todd County. Lastly is transparency. Many law enforcement agencies miss the mark with transparency. I believe that the leadership of many agencies don't consider the whole reason why we exist as an agency to start with. Just like my job in the Marine Corps is to travel around the world to fight the enemies of our country and to protect the people here in the United States, one of the primary jobs of law enforcement is to allow society here to go to work, go to school, go to church, live in your homes, and to generally live your lives without fear of harm. You all pay taxes for somebody to provide that service to you and to your family. When you need law enforcement and you call for us to respond, you expect and you deserve a well-trained, professional, and adequately equipped officer to respond to your call. The head of each law enforcement agency should be accountable to the public for how tax dollars are spent, how well trained the officers and the staff are, and how well the officers and staff perform their requested tasks. Because of this, the sheriff, it's my pledge to hire and maintain the most well-trained and professional staff possible. Nepotism should not and will not be part of my hiring practice. And this has no place in a professionally run organization, one that's truly accountable to the public. My wife, family, and friends are all dear to me, but I should not and will not hire them to work at the sheriff's office and use my position of trust to line the pockets of my family and friends with taxpayer money. There are multiple reasons why nepotism is a horrible practice, and it will not exist in my administration. If I'm elected, employees will only be hired and promoted based on merit and their qualifications to do the best job for the people of the county. I appreciate the time that I've had to speak to you, and I hope that something I've said will help you make a more informed decision on who to vote for. One thing's for certain, no matter what, change is coming. One thing is for certain, you get to choose that change. On the 29th of December, 2010, I swore in as a deputy and I made a commitment to you. Since then, for over 15 years now and through some tough times, I've never given up on Todd County. Please vote on May 19th for Patrick Turner to move the sheriff's office forward, and may God bless us all.
Thank you very much. Patrick, if you don't mind, we're going to ask you
Sure. The
first question, and then Mitch will have an opportunity to respond.
Mr. Turner, what is the greatest need in Todd County, and how do you plan to address it, Sheriff?
One of the greatest needs I feel is addressing the drug problem. I had no idea when I first started doing this that drugs lead to so many other things. Most crimes, not all crimes, but a lot of the crimes we have here in Todd County, the genesis of those crimes is the drug problem. Besides the fact of what the drugs do to families, tearing the families apart. And so I thought, for example, that, you know, a lot of people might steal to support their family, to feed their family if they're out of a job. Not so. 90-something percent of all thefts are drug-related to get money for drugs. So if you go after the drug problem, then all the rest of your crime, for the most part, will go down.
Well, like Patrick said, I ain't going to piggyback off of them, but drugs is a major problem. When I worked for the sheriff's office for 3.5 years, I was a K-9 handler. I worked a lot of times 6 days a week. I worked with Pinterell Task Force of buying narcotics undercover from individuals throughout the county. I even went to other counties to assist. Drugs, like Patrick said, they're a big, big problem. They destroy every family, my family, everybody's family. So drugs is one of the major ones. Another one I'd like to bring is community-oriented policing. Work with the community teens to the youth. As drugs, they do get into the school system. You know, the ones that get into the system, work with them. Maybe work with, you know, elected jailer. Try to get some inmates that are willing to talk to our youth about what drugs can do, how they affect your whole entire life.
Thank you. The next question, Mr. Frazier, go take the first one.
Law enforcement is often the largest line item in the county budget. Where can you find efficiencies to save taxpayer money without compromising public safety?
So the biggest thing about trying to save money is we try to apply for any and all grants from the state, rather than buying vehicles, having the money to pay for, you know, extra overtime for, you know, the men and women that get out there and work the roads. Federal overtime grants that you can apply for every year. They can work. You apply for the money and that's what you run off of, but they can come out, you know, make stops for people that's reckless driving, stuff like that, but that's how they can gain their overtime to help them feed their families. And it don't take away from the budget or add to the budget, which everybody is here, taxpayers as well, that pays in taxes to pay the employees. So having that will be able to get more of your money's worth.
Thank you. Patrick?
This is the same question. Where can you find efficiencies to save taxpayer money without compromising public safety?
Okay. Well, one of the things I was going to say is I agree about the grants. We're not aggressive enough in going after the grants. Another thing is using the data that we already collect, that we already have access to in the sheriff's office for training. And what I mean by that is that you can be creative with that data that you have by looking at it. For example, if you have an officer that's good at answering a certain call and face it in a place like Todd County, you know, we have trends and stuff. And so if one of the officers seems to be showing more success than the other ones at addressing a certain kind of call, then it doesn't cost anything to sit down with that officer and say, hey, put down on paper, I see, looking at our data, that you have really good success answering this kind of call. He can put it down on paper how he handles that call. We can use our body cams to use for training as well, and then have that officer develop a little training program to teach the other officers how to handle those calls. So the diversity within your department that you already have, you can use. It don't cost a thing to sit down and do that in-house training, and overall it improves the way that you handle those calls throughout the whole department.
Thank you very much. Patrick, if you don't mind, will you take this first? Sorry about that.
Beyond making arrests, what role does the sheriff's office play in stopping the flow of synthetic drugs in Todd County?
The role of synthetic drugs? Well, one thing is to make it a priority in the sheriff's office. Just being present there in the office and showing leadership in the office and making sure that your officers understand that that's part of it. Another part of it is to make sure that your officers get the training. And also, which is part of getting grants and looking for the proper equipment. Now, the manufacturers of these synthetic drugs, some of these people are really educated, really intelligent people. And sometimes they change, they tweak the makeup of some of these drugs just a little bit. And it will, some of the old school tests that we have, those tests will not be, field tests will not be effective in identifying those drugs. But there is technology now available that does identify what those drugs are. And so equipping your officers, doing the in-house training, and letting them know, getting everybody on the same sheet of music and working towards it goes a long way towards targeting those drugs.
Thank you. Yep. Mitch, can you please answer some questions? We need to repeat
the question. Repeat it, please.
Beyond making arrests, what role does the Sheriff's Office play in stopping the flow of synthetic drugs before they enter Todd County?
So the role of trying to stop synthetic drugs coming into the county is try to see where, first off, where they're coming from. Try to stop them before they get to wherever they're going. It's, like Patrick said as well, I mean, it's the testing part of it. Sometimes it'll show, sometimes it won't. They've got updated technology to where you can just, it's a laser that'll tell you everything that's in it. The fighting part of it, it's crucial. It's hard to do. You got to work toward it. You got to train all your employees to work toward it, focus toward it. And also, as a sheriff, being present in the office, but also outside of the office. Get out, work with your guys and men and women. Work towards making it the best. You're not going to know everything. They're not going to know everything. Sometimes you got to pick the phone up and call and ask questions as well. So as far as fighting synthetic drugs, it's crucial.
Thank you very much, both of you.
Thank you.
Next up, Magistrate District 2, Kathy Morgan, Kirk Dooley, and Bradley Portman. Come on up. You guys all take a seat. Kirk, you are number one. So you get the podium.
Thank all of you for coming. My name is Kirk Bowley, and I was born in Pembroke, Kentucky, and my father was a late Curtis Bowley, and my mother is Martha Bowley. I live 5 miles north of Elkton. Been living there my whole life. Was raised on a farm. Went to high school, class of 1990, Tide Central. Got out and went to farming. Got off on drugs and alcohol. And anyhow, I went to jail. And anyhow, that's where I found the Lord and Savior. And I praise God for that. And He delivered me from the drugs, the alcohol. And I've got 17 years this coming July, drug-free, alcohol-free, no cigarettes, no dip. Praise God for that, and I just want to thank my Lord and Savior for that. And anyhow, I've got two wonderful kids, and three grandkids, two bonus kids, and a wonderful wife. Thank God for them. And anyhow, I went to college, and while I was going to college in 2010, I started up my business at Bowley Landscaping and Complete Tree Service. And by the time I graduated college with my industrial maintenance degree, my business had taken off. The Lord had blessed me there. And so I never used my degree or whatever, and been blessed with my business. And love this community, love everybody in it. I love this place. Todd County is home. And I'm very blessed and active member in the Mount Tabor Missionary Baptist Church, and just thank God once again for everything He's done in my life, and just want to try to run for magistrate, and if I get it, I'm going to use integrity and just be honest and fair. And I'm not going to promise you I'm going to be the best person, but I'm going to promise I'll do the best I can and just work hard for you. That's about all I got.
Thank you very much, sir.
Yes, sir.
Next is Kathy Morgan.
Good evening, friends, family, neighbors, and fellow Republicans. I'm Kathy Morgan. Thank you for being here tonight. Seeing this room filled with people who care about Todd County, who care about our future, and who believe in the conservative values means more than I can say. First, I want to thank God for his guidance and his blessings. I believe deeply servant leadership begins with faith, humility, and a heart for people. I also want to thank my husband and my family and my church family, who are my constant source of encouragement and my daily reminder of why local leadership matters. I'm running for Magistrate District 2 because Todd County isn't just where I live, it's who I am. I've spent my life here, growing up, raising a family, serving my church, building a business, and giving back to the community. I believe now it's time to take that experience and that servant heart and put it to use in District 2. This race includes four Republican candidates, and that's a good thing. It proves we care. But tonight, I want you to know why I believe I'm the best choice to serve as magistrate. I bring real-world leadership experience. As a financial representative and insurance agent, I don't just talk about budgets. I know how important it is to adhere to them. I own and operate my own agency. That means I balance budgets, manage risk, and plan for the long term. And I make responsible decisions every day. I understand that every dollar matters, because when you run a business, or in that case, anything, a household, there's no room to waste. That same mindset is exactly what Todd County needs: careful stewardship of taxpayer dollars, transparency, and accountability. I also bring proven leadership in our community. I currently serve as president of Rotary Club, where service above self isn't just a slogan, it's a way of life. Through Rotary, I've worked alongside other leaders on community projects that make a real difference right here at home. I've been involved in numerous community efforts because I believe strong communities are built by people who show up, roll up their sleeves, and get to work. I bring faith-based values and a servant's heart. I'm active in church, where I serve as Sunday school teacher, vacation Bible school director, and anywhere else I'm needed. Teaching children, organizing volunteers, and guiding families has taught me patience, responsibility, and the importance of listening. Skills that matter deeply in local government. My faith shapes my values: honesty, integrity, accountability, and compassion. Those values don't just stay at church on Sundays. They guide how I live, how I work, and how I will serve as magistrate. I bring a family-centered perspective. As a wife, mother, stepmother, and a grandmother to six grandsons, I understand how decisions made at the physical court level affect our families. Roads, public safety, emergency services, and responsible development aren't just talking points. They impact daily life. I want Todd County to remain a place where families feel safe, where businesses can grow, where agriculture is respected, and where our values are protected. If elected as magistrate for District 2, I will focus on three priorities. Fiscal responsibility. Taxpayer dollars must be protected. I will advocate for responsible budgeting, careful planning, and long-term financial stability, not short-term fixes. Infrastructure and services. We need safe roads, reliable emergency services, and smart planning that supports growth without sacrificing our rural way of life. Accessibility and accountability. I will be a magistrate who listens. I will be present, approachable, and responsive. You deserve a representative who answers the phone, shows up, and follows through. This campaign is not about politics as usual. It's about leadership rooted in experience, service, and values. It's about choosing someone who understands business, budgeting, faith, family, and community, because I live those things every day. Tonight is the beginning of a journey. Over the upcoming months, I will knock on doors, listen to your concerns, earn your trust, and ask for your vote. Together, we can keep Todd County strong, conservative, and moving forward with integrity, transparency, and common sense leadership. Thank you. God bless you. God bless Todd County, and God bless the Commonwealth of Kentucky. I'm Kathy Morgan, and I'm asking you to trust me with your vote.
Thank you very much. Next up, and the final candidate for District 2, Bradley Ford.
I want to take this opportunity to thank everybody that involved in setting up this meeting of the candidates. My name is Bradley Fortner, seeking a master position to live in Sharon Grove. I'm 48. I've lived in the Grove since I was 7 years old. Married. My wife is Anna Fortner. I got two young boys. We attend the Mount Vernon Gender Baptist Church. Been a volunteer firefighter, been for 20 years. I've been serving a role as chief for 10 through the Sharon Grove Fire Department, and also 20 years served at the Rescue Squad Volunteer Services. I serve at I'm on the Clifty Fire Department. Been on there for 8 years or so. Had a assistant chief for the last year through Clifty. Once again, I want to thank everybody. For the opportunity to speak here tonight.
Thank you very much. If you don't mind, Brett, just stay there. We're going to start the questions. Questions will go in this order. It will be Bradley, then Kirk, and then Kat. Okay. What is the greatest need in District 2, and how do you plan to address it?
I think greatest need will be road work. The trees, everything's real close to the road. It's kind of like a safety hazard driving just wherever you're going to, commuting back and forth.
Can you read the question again, please?
What do you feel is the greatest need in District 2, and how do you plan to address it?
Well, I too think that the roadways is one of the biggest concerns, and ambulances, trying to get more ambulances services, but the water issues on roadways, and like you said, the trees, those are all things that we need to address. And that's what I would try to do, is just try to get it taken care of.
Thank you very much. Kathy?
Kathy, what do you feel is the greatest need for District 2, and how would you plan to address it?
Well, the points the gentleman made, that's the roads, there's a lot of places that flood, several roads that could use repair, and of course they'd be hopeful thinking to see if they could get some of them to be widened. But with that being said, the ambulance service, you know, we need that for Todd County, especially as far out as we are. In process of, it would be working with the court is if I were elected to work with them and find ways, if it's grants or if it's whatever it could be, just to get in there and find a way to get the money allocated for that.
Thank you very much. Kathy, if you don't mind, hold up. We have one more question, and we'll start with you, and then we'll go to Bradley, and then we'll go to her.
But Kathy, we've seen recent investments in new ambulances and storm sirens in our community. How will you ensure our rural fire departments and EMS have sustainable funding models that don't rely on one-time grants?
That's a tough one for me. So, but as I said, if elected and working with our physical court, I'm sure that any lack of knowledge I may have about some of those things, that we'll be able to pull it together and to find ways to remedy that. And like I said, not just depend on those one-time grants, because our physical court is very knowledgeable on that stuff and everything. So I'd be there to help and dig in and whatever I can do.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Fortner, how will you ensure our rural fire departments and EMS have a sustainable funding model that don't rely on one-time grants?
Read one more time.
How will you ensure our rural fire departments and EMS have a sustainable funding model that do not rely on one-time grants?
Need to look into, which I know we're talking about taxpayer money, but if we could spend a little extra, we'd get a lot more. Your ambulances, the fire service, if we just volunteers, if we could get more volunteers through our fire service, it would help out a whole lot.
Thank you.
Will you read the question, please?
We've seen recent investments in new ambulances and storm sirens in our community. Mr. Bowley, how will you ensure our rural fire departments and EMS have a sustainable funding model that don't rely on one-time grants?
Well, if I was elected, I would just try to seek and find more other ways to find money, different grants. And, I mean, that would be the way. And like I said, like Kathy said, work together and just try to pull it together and work as a team, and but search for other grants would be one of the ways. That's about all I got.
Thank you very much, sir.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Kathy, I'll take the first one on this one, and then Kurt, and then Brad.
Kathy, many citizens feel that the Todd County Fiscal Court makes decisions before the public meeting starts. How will you ensure your constituents in District 2 are informed before a vote happens rather than after?
Well, that would be our transparency. Public is supposed to be informed about what's going on. How would I do that? It would be standing up for my district, and if there were a vote, they were wanting to vote on something, closed doors before anything was done, stand up and say, well, we need to let our citizens know what's going on before we do this. So that would just be, I'd be their advocate to fight for them, to let them know.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Mr. Bowling, how will you ensure your constituents in District 2 are informed before a vote happens, before a vote happens rather than after?
Well, I mean, I'm pretty much going to say what Kathy said. I mean, that's about all I would have to. I mean, that's pretty much it. Just stand up for them. And, that's about it.
Thank you, sir. Okay. How will you ensure your constituents in District 2 are informed before a vote happens rather than after?
Well, me. With me being in a fire volunteer establishment as a fire station, as chief, I've got to listen to the community already. I don't, and I take concerns, I take it to where it's supposed to go. And I fight for what's right. I'm not a yes man.
Thank you very much. Thank you all. Do you guys have any questions for Josh? Okay, good. Thank you again. All right, as we move along, we have the jailer's race. Jeff Panic, Michael Trimmer. Jeff, we'll go first, so you go first.
Really need to get some of this water before I start. Good evening, everyone. Thank you for being here tonight and taking time to participate in this process. My name is Jeff Pinnick. I'm currently serving as your Todd County jailer. I'm running for re-election because I care about this community. And I enjoy the work that I've been able to do and being able to work with other leaders to try to make Todd County a better place. And also because there's still more things that I want to accomplish before I stop working. I recently listened to a George Jones song that I identify with. I don't need your rocking chair, your Geritol, or your Medicare. I ain't ready for the junkyard yet. I feel like a new Corvette. Retirement don't fit in my plans. And you can take your seat because I'm going to stand. An Eskimo needs a Frigidaire like I need a rocking chair. I'm 64 years old, and I'm still willing to work. I think my generation are a group of people that have a work ethic, and I like older people. I have 18 years of law enforcement experience. I have a master's degree in education from Morehead State University and a bachelor's degree in criminal justice from Southern Christian University. My soon-to-be 64 years of life can be easily divided into three different sections of life. 20 years of my life were spent in Logan County, where I was born and raised. I also preached there for 2 years in Adairville, Kentucky. That was part of that 20 years. There's 20 years of my life that were spent outside of Kentucky, serving in the United States Air Force for 8 years, and then working with churches in Memphis, Tennessee, Fayetteville, North Carolina, Ghana, West Africa, and in Modesto, California, where I was a staff chaplain for the Ceres Police Department. The most recent 24 years of my life have been committed to Todd County. And some might wonder, why would I come here? Well, all of my grandparents, except for Tom Pinnick, were born in Todd County. Granddaddy Tom's family all lived in western Logan County in the Gordonsville area, which touches Todd County. And so my parents, Richard Gordon Pinnick and Betty Harris Pinnick, were both born in Todd County. If you were born in Todd County, you weren't born in a hospital. Remember that. And then I can say my roots are deep in Todd County. In 2002, my mother was diagnosed with an inoperable cancer that was in her spine. She asked me to move back to try to help with some sale of farms that was taking place, and she was trying to understand that and sort it out. But I did come back, and then when we started back here, and it's starting over again in life. And I tried to bloom where I was planted. When it comes to certain things in life, what God's plans are, we might not necessarily understand at the time. but there still is a plan. When I first moved here from the years 2002 to 2006, I was a full-time staff reporter for the Todd County Standard newspaper. I attended all the fiscal court meetings, city council meetings, school board meetings, went to community events and different types of things that was taking place. I met some of the most interesting people you'd ever want to meet, and I got to see how things worked in Todd County and what people made things tick and got things done. In addition to working in the newspaper, I drove a school bus, similar to running a jail. But during that particular time frame and stuff, there were kids that I have seen that were just starting school that are now grown up, and they're making a difference. One of them just recently I seen was going to be an Iowa State Trooper. And so it's good to see the things that the kids end up accomplishing from here. There's also been at least a dozen of the kids that rode my bus that I have met in the Todd County Jail. Usually it was drug addictions and stuff that brought them there. But I enjoy seeing when they end up making choices to be serious about rehabilitation and maintain their drug-free plans. And so I like seeing that they're battling their addiction and winning. From 2008 to 2015, I taught and provided educational services inside the Todd County Jail. With those adult education programs, there was 91 inmates that I can count on paper that completed their GED and also National Career Readiness Certificates. Currently, I'm a certified facilitator for all the classes and programs that are offered in our jail. The jail is a GED testing center, and all the coursework and testing that takes place is done in-house because we have a contract with the Hopkinsville Community College. Reflecting back over the past campaigns in my service, when I first ran for this office, it was 20 years ago. I knocked every door in Todd County and ran against incumbent jailer Greg Allen, a Democrat. I lost. Then in 2014, I knocked all the doors again, ran against Mr. Allen, and lost in the general election. 2018, I was going to work harder. I knocked on every door again. And that time, finally won the jailer's race. I was like a dog chasing a car. And now I've caught the car, and what do you do with the car? Is your dog, once you get it. And so that's when the work began. You know, somebody had recently described that I parachuted into leadership in the jail. Well, some of the candidates here tonight, perhaps it's your first time running for public office, but you can see how hard it is to put yourself out there and to do those things because you want to serve your county. The only place where success comes before work is in the dictionary. You know, serving in this role has been both an honor and it's been a serious responsibility. Over the past 8 years, we faced some challenges here, and some things were expected, but some things were just completely unforeseen. COVID-19, Governor Andy Beshear emptied out the jails. But through all the different things, my focus has remained steady, to show up, to do the work every day, and to try to act in the best interest of Todd County, the people that I represent and serve. What's been accomplished over this time? Well, there's been improved infrastructure at the jail. We have a new roof, that was done by a local company, Kirkland's. We have 250 power-producing solar panels on top of the jail that's funded by an energy-saving program initiative. We have on-demand water heaters, LED lighting, other types of things. All of this is to try to save taxpayer dollars on utilities. I want to keep the money in your house and not the jailhouse. We've received grants to make our jail more sanitary and safe. We got $90,000 for new washing machines and dryers, $214,000 grant to purchase a full body scanner for the jail to stop the introduction of the dangerous drugs like you're talking about. Now, when people are arrested, when they come back from court, when they've been out on work details, we run people through the body scanner. And if the body scanner doesn't catch it, then I received a $7,500 grant from the American Kennel Club to purchase a non-bite, human-tracking, drug-detecting dog This is both used inside the jail and outside the jail at work sites. What we've done as a jail is supported our local school district by providing inmate labor. When school is out of session, we paint, we clean, we move furniture, and we get things ready for when the kids come back to school. We've done building projects for the city of Elkton, for the water department, for city hall. We built a handicap accessible ramp in front of the Milliken Community House. There's projects that have been completed in Guthrie and in Trenton, and we've done the playground equipment at the Clifty Park. We maintain the park in Elkton. There's all kinds of mowing projects that the inmates do. We do a tire abatement thing that takes place each year, and there's all kinds of efforts that are done by the jail to benefit our community. We started DOC evidence-based recidivism programs for state inmates beginning back in 2019. And after the approval of House Bill 556, we started receiving financial incentives for those programs. To date, there's been $351,000 that we've gotten from those types of programs. We additionally have numerous faith-based programs in the jail for county inmates. We have local churches like Potter, Stokes Chapel, and Petrie that all are working with incarcerated people, and they're trying to help people then when they get out in the community. Those are just some of the accomplishments, and they didn't happen overnight, and it didn't happen just because of work that's been done in the jail. Community people have worked together with us. When it comes to how I lead, think about Andy Griffith. I'm not going to go around flashing a badge and wearing a gun, that you'll see. But there's things that I've learned how to do as far as it goes in this time frame, and that's how to navigate budgets, regulations, and take care of competing priorities. Some of the competing priorities is upgrading our building's infrastructure to make it safer. And then also putting in an advanced camera system to increase our safety, to increase mental health services. Okay, I only got 3 minutes more to go, but I'll stop.
Thank you very much.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you for being here tonight. In Todd County, showing up matters. Your word matters, your actions matter, and when it comes to keeping our community safe, strong, and united, being informed and engaged makes all the difference. For y'all that do not know me, my name is Michael Trimmer, and I'm running for Todd County Jailer. I want to start by saying something important. This campaign isn't about politics or personalities. It isn't about comparing myself to anyone else. It's about experience, leadership, and doing the right thing for our community every single day. The jail is one of the most important responsibilities in our county. It's where responsibility, accountability, and second chances come together. One decision, one moment of leadership, or lack of leadership can affect an entire community. That is not something I take lightly. I currently serve as Chief Deputy at the Logan County Detention Center. And my entire career has been in Logan County working in the detention facility. I started in Logan County back at the end of 2014. I spent years on the floor, in the hallways, in the control room handling emergencies, supervising staff, and making sure the facility runs safely and responsibly. I've dealt with situations that require focus, patience, and calm leadership under pressure. I've seen the importance of clear decisions, and I've learned that leadership isn't about giving orders. It's about being present, being prepared, and being accountable. This isn't just theory. This isn't just a title on the door. This is real work, real responsibility, and real accountability. Over the years, I've seen different strong leadership makes. I've seen staff rise to the occasion when expectations are clear and guidance is consistent. I've also seen the challenges and stress that arise when leadership is absent. Those experiences have taught me that a facility and a community is only as strong as the people leading it. Our correctional officers do one of the toughest jobs in the public service. Long hours, high stress, constant responsibility. They deserve leadership that supports them, guides them, and values their work. When staff know leadership is fair, consistent, and dependable, the facility runs smoothly and our community benefits. Most people who enter the jail will eventually return to our community. That's why accountability and structure must work together with guidance and programs. Teaching skills, offering support, and holding people accountable helps them return to community better prepared. This is practical leadership that is responsible leadership, and that is how we strengthen Todd County. I work closely with staff to implement programs that give people opportunities to learn, to grow, and take responsibility for their actions. I've seen lives improve in small but meaningful ways. People could have fallen through the cracks getting a chance to do better. Those are the moments that remind me why this work matters. I was raised to believe that when you are given responsibility, you are accountable. You don't pass blame, you don't cut corners, you do the right thing, even when no one is watching. That is how I lead, that is the leadership I will bring to Todd County. The jail belongs to the people of Todd County. That means leadership that is transparent, responsible, and committed to doing what is right. It means communicating honestly with the public, addressing challenges head on, and always keeping the community informed and involved. I am not running for headlines. I am not running for applause. I am running to run a facility responsibly, fairly, and effectively for the good of everyone in our community. I won't promise perfection. I won't promise overnight change, but I will promise you this. Leadership grounded in real hands-on experience, support and guidance for staff to ensure a safe, professional facility, accountability for everyone inside the facility without excuses, stewardship of taxpayer dollars and the public trust, programs and structure that help people return to the community better prepared, a commitment to working with the community to understand needs, concerns, and opportunities. Being jailer is not about managing the facility. It's about building trust, confidence, and relationships. Trust with the public, trust with staff, and trust within the community. I want every person who walks through the doors of that facility to know they are treated fairly. And I want every family in Todd County to know the jail is run responsibly. Our community is strongest when faith, values, and accountability guide our leadership. Being part of a rural, tight-knit community means looking out for one another, respecting our neighbors, and making decisions that reflect the standards we hold dear. That is how I approach every decision, through integrity, experience, and faith-driven responsibility. Now here's the part that matters most. Elections aren't just about casting the vote. They're about participation. They're about showing up, taking responsibility, and ensuring the next leader reflects the values of our community. I'm asking that you to trust me with that responsibility, to stand with me in choosing leadership that is experienced, accountable, and committed to the people of Todd County, to support a vision for our jail that reflects our values, fairness, structure, opportunity, and respect. This is more than an election. It's about choosing leadership you can trust, experience that matters, and a vision that strengthens our community for everyone. It would be my honor to serve as your next Todd County jailer. Thank you, God bless you, and God bless Todd County.
Can you, if you don't mind, you're going to go first.
All right.
First question. Mr. Trimmer, what do you feel is the greatest need in Todd County, and how could you, as jailer, plan to address it?
I think one of our greatest needs in Todd County is rehabilitation, drug treatment programs, and it's sad to say, but our detention centers are a revolving door for most men and women that go through it because of drugs. Todd County is absolutely horrible on drugs. In my personal opinion, I don't think we offer enough classes and of rehabilitation programs to assist in these needs of these men and women.
Thank you very much. Mr. Panic.
Repeat the question, please, Josh.
What do you feel is the greatest need in Todd County, and how could you as jailer plan to address it?
Okay. Well, yeah, I can say the drug issue and stuff here is out of hand. Can the jail fix that? No. I had asked previously about getting a building that was next door to the jail for a SAP program. That didn't happen and probably won't happen. But even if a drug program existed that's tied in with the jail, I remember talking with the judge once, and he said if it took 2 years for a person to complete a program, then the state would pay for a year and not for 2 years. Master Oliver brought up something earlier about finances for the jail. And so I sort of look at that as being an important issue. When I first took office, then my first few years in, we were doing $1.3 million, $1.4 million, $1.6 million, and so we were going and blowing. Jails aren't about supposed to be in a business to make money, but there's the expectation that we can try to pay for the things that we're providing for the inmates. There is House Bill 557 that is now up, and House Bill 557 is trying to address the lack of funding for the jails. I've got a 28-page document with me tonight. I'm trying to press through and understand and read, and it might be the solution. We get paid $35.34 a day to take care of an inmate that it would probably cost us $70 a day. They'll pay a prison $100 a day at a prison for housing inmates there, and they won't treat the counties fairly. It's about time things change, and you need a voice that's committed to Tide County to handle things like this at a level outside Tide County.
Mr. Panic, if you don't mind,
yes,
we'll give you question two first.
Well, you brought up House Bill 557. And part of that is talking about being able and pushing for regionalized jails. Do you support closing our local jail to join a regional authority that saves taxpayers money? Or do you believe maintaining local control is worth the higher cost?
Okay, we had two feasibility studies that were done on the Tide County Jail. Suggestion is we need to stay open. We have a $400,000 a year debt service. This building is not paid off. And so in times past, our county officials had borrowed money. And so if we close the door tomorrow, you're still going to have to pay $400,000 and not have a jail. I try to keep some opinions to myself. Regionalized driver's license. I used to like coming here and I could see Mark Coward and get my driver's license right here in town. I didn't have to take a day off work to go someplace else to get a driver's license. The juvenile justice system is regionalized and it's a mess, don't you think? And so regionalization is not necessarily the answer. We need to be able, we've got to work with other people if it takes place, but it's not going to happen overnight, and so we need Tide County to be represented. I'm looking at a Logan County person running for a Tide County office. Another deputy in Logan County is running for Butler County. I think there might be something in the works and stuff where they're thinking they're going to be the regional stuff, and let's just don't worry about those people in Tide County. You need me at the table on this, I promise you. This is something that is important to Tide County.
Can you repeat the question, please?
Sure. Do you support closing our local jail to join a regional authority if it saves the taxpayers money, or do you believe maintaining local control is worth the higher cost?
My answer probably ain't going to be go over too well with Tide County taxpayers, but I think regionalizing the detention centers is an absolutely horrible idea. For the reason being, you got to think of the men and women that get incarcerated fresh off the streets. These men and women have to appear before Judge Williams for the court process. That's taken several staff members that it's going to require to go to these different facilities, these regional facilities, to pick up these inmates, transport them back to Tide County for court, and transport them right back. That's going to take a lot of manpower, a lot of taxpayer money with, you know, vehicles, gas, and everything along them lines.
State budgets, how will you handle the actual cost of inmate medical care if state reimbursement remains stagnant?
Honestly, that's a question I can't give you an answer to. Our medical is the biggest thing in a detention center. It's one of the biggest contracts. Most facilities contract outside medical groups, and that's not to mention Logan County, but I think Logan County pays about $500,000 a year for medical staff.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Panic?
Okay. On that, with Medicare, part of this House Bill 557, and again, it's in committee right now. It hasn't passed. So they're still kicking things around. Part of it is they would also reimburse the jails, the local jails, medical stuff. And that ends up being a plus. Medicare, the way things work now, if I have somebody that leaves their facility, goes to the hospital, and they're there for over 24 hours, I can get Medicare to pay for it. But if they don't stay the full 24 hours, then we end up, the taxpayers get stuck with the bill. But part of the question sort of made sense to me, but the other part, you know, it's like I'm thinking how the process works now, but how it might be under House Bill 5757. It might be a good thing, but just you don't have to throw out the baby with the bathwater. Laws that end up being passed, it's trying to find the good things in it and how it has a financial impact and help us, and then also looking at those bills and trying to realize how it could also hurt us as a county.
Thank you very much. Thank you both for your time. Just real quickly,
You're good.
Just real quickly, I want to just make a couple of quick announcements before we depart here. Again, that phone number, if you want to send questions, we will get them out to the candidates, 270-348-1266. Just send any question you have for them, and we will get it out to them. Another thing is, I see a dear friend of mine who I met 10 years ago when I moved here, Billy Bryant. Magistrate, would you stand up, please? This is our longest standing Republican in Todd County. And it looks like we have four people that are going to try to fill your shoes. So that's a good thing for all of us. Again, don't hesitate to send questions. We want the candidates to do this. To the candidates, you guys should give yourselves a round of applause, because it's not that easy to stand in front of everybody and put yourself out there, okay? But it shows one thing in common, all right? That we all want a better tomorrow for where we live. And you guys are bringing that. So that's a wonderful thing that most people do not have the courage to do. Okay, so you're very special when it comes to that. Mark, where's Mark? Can you stand up, Mark? Mark, thank you. I'll thank the judge also, Judge Mansfield, for allowing us to have this. And it's a great evening. I want to close it off with a dear friend and I know he's a judge and he's really not supposed to be from one side to the other, but he's probably one of the finest Republicans I have ever met. And I've met quite a few over my lifetime so far. Judge, would you please join us? And he's not running for re-election, okay? I just want to make sure we know that.
Well, thank you so much, Frank, for you all doing this. And I want to thank all the people who have stepped forward to shoulder the responsibility for governing their community. And I just want to tell you all how much I appreciate you stepping forward and being willing to serve. And that says something about you, because in so much of what I see on a daily basis, unfortunately, when I hold my criminal court, is people who tend to think only about themselves. And so the fact that you are thinking about your neighbors and your friends and your family and wanting to serve, I just want to tell you how much I appreciate you doing that. And I was just listening about some of the things that are going. So many good things are happening in this community. And I want to tell you about one thing. We started a drug court here in 2020 in the middle of COVID. And we have about 60 to 70 participants in that drug court program for Logan and Tide County. And we're trying to provide that community-based services to help with the drug problem. And I just want you to know we're working, Mark and I and the people who work in this building are really trying to, as best we can, to provide an open, fair court system that's open to everyone, that you can come and be heard, you can have your case heard, whatever it is. and that people are treated fairly, and I'm just grateful for you all, that you all have given me the opportunity to serve you in that capacity. So thank you so much, and thank you, Frank.
Again, I just want you to remember one thing. When you leave this courtroom and you go out and campaign, please do so. It's a great thing. It's the American way of doing things. But we all need to remember one thing. The day after the election, we're still Republicans and we still support the Republican Party. This is a very, very important year. I know you guys are running, it's very important. But we have one huge race that we cannot mess up, okay? In Kentucky, and it will lead us to the next few years that we're going to need. We will lose, whether you like Mitch or not. Mitch McConnell has brought $61 billion to Kentucky. He has put Kentucky on the map, let's be honest. He has built the Republican Party. We are taking the most senior senator in the United States Senate, and he is retiring. And we need to fill those shoes. It is so important that after this primary, that we get out and we all knock on doors and make sure that whoever the candidate that wins our primary for U.S. Senate wins in November. We cannot afford not to fill that seat as a Republican. And it gets better. As you guys put out signs this year, please keep up every address, every name you can possibly have. Turn it in to the Todd County Republican office. Give it to Lisa or to Mark Collins or myself, even if you see me. It is very important that we set the stage in 26 for 27. There is one spot that we have to take next year. And Mark, I, with all due respect, sir, anybody who has run for the legislation in Kentucky and has lost from a different party has basically been given a job through the governor's office. So all these little things are still hanging around, okay? We need to get rid of the governor. We need to put a Republican governor in Kentucky, and we need to end this now. And that is why we need to run this year really hard and next year even harder. So anything that you can do to help us, please let us know. We're all here to help each other, but we need to get those two big races down. This year, we need to put a U.S. Senator in the Senate as a Republican to take that seat. And then next year, we have to put a Republican governor in. And it's really what we need to do to move Kentucky forward. Any questions for the radio station, any questions for myself? Does everybody know who Lisa Long is? She is the vice chair for the Republican Party here in Todd County. For you who don't know, Mark Collins just took that position 2 months ago as chair. If there's anything you ever need, just reach out to him. That phone number goes right directly to them. So don't hesitate to ever call them if you have a question or you need help with something, they're here to help. 10 years ago, we had 1,839 registered Republicans. We were basically 5,000 Democrats here. I'm really happy and proud to say that with everything that we've done in Todd County, starting with the election of Jason Petrie, and moving forward, that number is actually down to 118 people. We are 118 registered Republicans away from actually taking the majority in Todd County. Now think about that. This county's been blue for as long as you can remember. So it's with all your help that we've gotten there and for all the doors that everybody's knocked. So it's a great thing. And we just need to keep moving forward that way. If there is nothing else, say that again?
Signs.
Signs, yes. There are signs in the back for candidates. The candidates will be back there. You can talk to them. Give them your address. Give them your phone number, whatever. And that way they can record that. Can I ask you to give a few words before we leave in prayer?
Absolutely.
Excellent.
Let us pray. Dear our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you thanking you for this day, Lord, and we just thank you for this opportunity that we got out tonight, Lord. Lord, be with each and every one of the candidates tonight as they go with their journey, Lord, as they go out to campaign, Lord. But most of all, Lord, we just pray that they keep you in mind, Lord, as they're campaigning, Lord. Lord, just bless us and thank you, Lord, for everything you've done for us, Lord, and everything you're going to do for us, Lord. Lord, just keep everyone safe if they travel home tonight, Lord. These things we ask in your Son's holy name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much. Have a great evening, everyone. Thank you.